This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد اليوم 20 من شهر جمادى الأولى 1445 الموافق لأربعة من شهر ديسمبر 2023 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك الداء والدواء أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا زلات ويغفر للمؤلف ابن القيم رحمه الله. So today inshallah we will continue from where we stopped inshallah عز وجل and last week I believe we were the mafasid that exist in Ishq al-Suwar, having connected an attachment to images that a person is distracted, cannot be patient. So some of these mafasid, which Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned, and he said he's just mentioning some of them, not all, some of them. So we reach the mafsada number 10, when he talks about the problem that Yusuf alayhi salam was in. I'm sorry, he was talking about this mafasid and how much it is when a person gets himself into it, it will be very difficult for him to stay away from it. And he is supporting this fact with the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. And he's trying to do the taqrib, to bring it closer to us to understand how bad is the situation that Yusuf was in. That if all of those obstacles have been to be removed, it would be very difficult for a person to stay away from committing the wrongdoing. Right? The only remedy you have is to stay away from it. Don't you ever be in it. There's nobody except you and the opposite gender. So he's talking about who was Yusuf alayhi salam at that time, and also how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him. So he reached the issue number 10 when he says Yusuf alayhi salam was a slave at the house of that woman. Yusuf was a slave. So the resilience and the resistance he has is very weak. He gets, the master is inviting him to do the evil doing. He doesn't have that much power being a slave to resist. And also she is from the top leaders in the city because the husband is an important person in the city. Number 11, Anna has ta'anat bi'a'immat al-makr. This one also we talk about this. She sought the help and the support of the sisters, right? And it turned to be a tragedy. You know, she wanted to disguise herself and to close, you know, her image from the eyes of the community. The true image not to be understood, but she plotted against Yusuf through the invitation of those sisters. You know, she did not tell them what exactly she planning for, but she knows that none of them will stand seeing Yusuf without getting distracted. And this is exactly what happened, what she wanted to see. And Yusuf ended up going to jail. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah show mercy upon Yusuf alayhi salam, because when they asked him to come out of jail, Yusuf said, I will not go out of the jail until the time I know my situation first. Those sisters, they have to be questioned, they have to be asked, what is my position with them? What happened to that claim and the accusation from them against me? Yusuf said, I will not go out until I'm cleared first from those accusations, and then I'll go out. Rasulullah said, may Allah show mercy upon him. If I were to be in his position, I would just go out. The time they tell me go out, I would just go out. Then I will settle the case afterward when I'm out of the jail. So Yusuf alayhi salam also passed this test, alhamdulillah. Number 12, qala annaha tawa'adathu bis-sijni was-saghar. She promised him that if he doesn't, she threatened him that if he doesn't submit to what she is looking for, she will send him to jail, because she said, she said, if you don't do what I ask you to do, she said, لَيْكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ, right? He will be, وَلَيْكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ. I will send him to jail and he will be among the humiliated. I would really disrespect and humiliate him and put him in jail. So you can see all of these threats, you know, it's a young person, she is a woman that is so beautiful and also belongs to somebody who has authority, and Yusuf is in her house as a maid or a slave under her control. And then also the threat that comes from her, that if he doesn't do what he wants, what she wants, he will go to jail. قَالَ وَهَذَا نَوْءِ إِكْرَاهٍ وَهُوَ تَهْدِيدٌ مَنْ يَجْلِبُ عَلَى الظَّنِّ مَنْ يَغْلِبُ عَلَى الظَّنِّ مَا هُدِّدَ بِهِ مَنْ يَغْلِبُ عَلَى الظَّنِّ مَا هُدِّدَ مَا هَدَّدَ بِهِ فيجتمع داعي الشهوة وداعي السلامة من ذيك السجن والصغار. So he says this is a threat. You know, she's threatening Yusuf alayhi salam. So you see, there are a combination of two things, because she is trying to force him, you know, using this method that if you don't do, I will send you to jail. So now the shahwa is there, the desire is there, because he's young. And also not doing what she wants also can amount into him going to jail. So two things, each one of them can push Yusuf to do that which the woman wants, even if he doesn't want to do it. But still, alhamdulillah, because of that burhan, Yusuf, so he managed to escape this, what do you call, trap of the Imratu Al-Aziz. الثالث عشر, number 13, أن الزوج لم يظهر من الغيرة والنخوة ما يفرق به بينهما ويبعد كل منهما عن صاحبه بل كان غاية ما قابلها به أن قال ليوسف أعرض عن هذا وللمرأة استغفر لذنبك إنك كنت من الخاطئين وشدة الغيرة للرجل من أقوى الموانع وهذا لم يظهر منه غيرة أبدا. He says also the husband, it looks like the husband is somebody who doesn't care, he doesn't mind these things to happen in his family. Because when the woman accused Yusuf of committing or trying to commit illegal relationship with her, what was the response of the husband? He says, Yusuf, aridan hada. He says, Yusuf, just forget about this. Don't think about what she says. And that's it. And you know that man, they have this ghayra, this jealousy, which is unique. And that's why, if I ask you this question, who is more jealous, a male or a female? Female or male? Who is more jealous? When you mention jealousy, who comes to the mind? Male or female? Female. But realistically, whose jealousy is more? Man or woman? You are shy of answering this question. Realistically, the man's jealousy is more than the woman's jealousy. Yeah, the woman's jealousy, the reality is it just come out. And also they have circumstances which is being repeated that can provoke this jealousy to come out. For instance, when the husband married another person, you can easily see jealousy. When she realized that the husband is having somebody that was in his mind, you can see this jealousy coming out. And this is natural. It's not something that that we call good or bad. It's natural. And it's good to have this jealousy, actually. It's not good for a woman to live without jealousy. Is that understood? Right? It's not good for a woman to live with that jealousy. Because this jealousy helps a man also to be protected. If he's married to a loser who doesn't care, trust me, tomorrow also he can bring another woman to the house and she doesn't mind that. This one, I think we have to change the... Whose internet is stronger than mine?
Is it Stephanie?
Yeah, it keeps on going in and out. Yours is strong?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Do you have a name?
Mazin.
So, name is there? Oh, yeah. Okay. So what I was saying is the reason why the woman's jealousy comes out because she has circumstances that can provoke this jealousy, which will bring it out. Do you get the idea? But in terms of hidda, strength and power, you know, and danger, the jealousy that comes from the brothers is worse. Yeah, because that one kills. That one kills. That one is bloody. And maybe that's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the leadership in the house to protect those sisters. You know, a man will accept death rather than seeing his wife or his daughters being in trouble. He can compromise and tolerate death and any evil to happen to him, but not that one. Yeah. So if a person knows that, yes, the husband is there, usually, or the brothers are there, usually the person will not say any bad thing to the girl. Do you get the idea? Whereby if she is alone, he might say whatever he wants to say. But if the brothers are there, he might not be able to open his mouth. That's why they say the jealousy of man kills. But you have some people who are the youth. The youth means somebody who tolerates evil, you know, in his family. For instance, the person will meet his friend and tell him, you know, somebody told me that he met a person, you know, with his wife, and that person look at him and say, "This is my wife, what do you think?" So I don't know what to reply this person. do you understand what this, so that's the youth. Yeah. A real man will never do that. Yeah, never do that. You know, some people, in fact, even to ask them about their family is an issue. Yeah, it shouldn't be an issue. It's okay when somebody asks you how's your family, it's okay. But to be honest with you, some man, you know, the jealousy is really bad. How's your family? You know, he will start asking you, what is the connection? Yeah, that's wrong, because when somebody asks about your family, that should be very normal. But you have to be very careful. Some people might be very sensitive concerning this matter. So I just want you to understand what Ibn Qayyim is trying to say here. He said the jealousy that comes from the brothers is very strong, but there are some who don't have this jealousy. For instance, somebody who invites his friends and permits them to come to his house even in his absence and stay with his wife in the house. Does he have jealousy? No, not at all. This is the youth. Yeah, this is the youth. And there are some people who are like that. You Allah. The woman would just come out of her room. She knows that the husband is not around, and then she sees somebody else in the house, a friend of her husband. Yeah. Enter the house in the absence of the husband. Even your brothers, it's haram for them to come when you're not around. To sit with your wife alone is haram for them because they are not maharim to her. And only Allah knows what is going on, you know, when this door is being opened. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, it is death. So Ibn al-Qayyim says, this man is not having a jealousy at all. Because when a case happens, a woman might lose her marriage. Trust me, with some people who are jealous, that might be the end of her marriage. if you realize that she wasn't the one who was speaking the truth. But the husband said what? He just told Yusuf, just forget about what she said. And you, look at his wife and say, just ask Allah to forgive you. Say astaghfirullah, and that's it. And the case is closed. Men are not known to be like this. Yeah. Although jealousy should be remain, and also if she shows repentance, a person should forgive, you know, as long as he can trust her. Because if he cannot trust her anymore, then she will live in him in a state of, you know, subhanAllah, stress and depression. Because whenever he sees her, he will think that maybe she met somebody else. Yeah, that's why it's a very dangerous, you know, situation. A woman can open for herself and a man can open for himself. It's not easy for you to close this page. Not easy. So he told the wife, Astaghfirullah. Say Astaghfirullah. Because you are wrong. قَالَ وَشِدَّةُ غَيْرَةِ لِلْرَجُلِ وَشِدَّةُ الْغَيْرَةِ لِلْرَجُلِ مِنْ أَقْوَى الْمُعَنَى. And this strong jealousy that comes from the brothers is one of the strongest preventers, you know, of zina from the wife's side. Yeah, you Allah. Strong jealousy prevent a woman from zina and prevent other people also from committing zina with the wife of somebody. Because he knows that she has a man living with her. And it is not a joke. If he is to do anything of this nature, he might lose his life. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, he never married a woman who was married before. Never. And he never divorced a woman and somebody dared to marry her after that. They were scared of him. He said he cannot stay with a woman and then she goes and stay with somebody else. That's before Islam, you know. He went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said to him, Ya Rasulullah, I heard about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning the law of zina. He said, Ya Rasulullah, do you mean if I am to see my wife committing zina with somebody, I have to go and look for 4 witnesses and then you will take action? He said, Wallahi, Ya Rasulullah, this cannot happen. He said, Ya Rasulullah, Wallahi, immediately I will cut off his head. And then I will submit myself to you. To go and look for witnesses? No. I see him with my own eyes, I will cut off his head immediately. And then I will bring myself to you. You guys can do whatever you want. But he cannot survive. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laughed. He says, do you see this jealousy, how strong it is? He says, Wallahi, la ana aghyaru minhu. He says, Wallahi, my jealousy is stronger than his jealousy. Yeah, because Sa'd can even imagine the problem happening, right? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even to hear about zina, he doesn't want. He said, my jealousy is stronger than his. Wallahu aghyaru minni. And the jealousy of Allah is stronger than ours. That's why he prohibits Al-fawahish ma dhahara minha wa ma batan. All types of fawahish are rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and prohibited. They told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, don't worry, Sa'd is like that with us. He says, you never married a woman except somebody who is virgin. Never stay with somebody else. He said, he can't be with somebody who stayed with another person. And also, he never divorced a woman and she dared to marry somebody else. Nobody can marry her because of that. They were scared of him. What kind of action is he going to take against them? That was injustice and unfair, but this is jahiliyyah during time of jahiliyyah. So I just want you to understand the amount of jealousy that the brothers have. Then you were related to this. This man doesn't have this. Yeah. So a woman knowing that the husband is very strong in this, I mean, he means business on this matter. Trust me, she'll preserve herself and make sure that she talks to those whom he agrees with. And that's good for her, at the end of the day. That's good for her. Yeah. And also people who want to talk to her, when they know that this is the wife of somebody, they will try to avoid approaching her, unless with his permission. وَهَذَا لَمْ يَظْهَرُ مِنْهُ غَيْرًا. So this man doesn't have this. which means Yusuf has the chance to go ahead and do what she wants. Yeah, because the man in the house is not ghayur, doesn't have ghayra. Even if Yusuf does what she wants, he will not get into trouble as long as this man is the one who is in charge. Because all that he is going to tell Yusuf, say astaghfirullah, then do that again. You get the idea. But still Yusuf did not use this as a chance, as a means for them to do that which she wants. قَالَ وَمَا هَذِهِ الدَّوَاءِ كُلِّهَا فَآثَرَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ وَخَوْفَهُ. And with all of these motivators, but still Yusuf favored the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the fear of Allah. That's why he did not go. He did not do what she wants. وَحَمَلَهُ حُبُّهُ لِلَّهِ عَلَى أَنْ اخْتَارَ السِّجْنَ عَلَى الزِّنَا. Because of that intensive amount of love he has for Allah, he chose to go to jail rather than committing zina. Subhanallah. Except prison. He says, السِّجْنُ حَبُّ إِلَيْهِ. He said, Ya Allah, jail is better for me. قَالَ رَبِّ السِّجْنُ حَبُّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيْهِ. He said, Ya Allah, to go to jail is better for me than what they are inviting me for. وَعَلِمَ أَنَّهُ لَا يَتِيقُ صَرْفَ ذَلِكَ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ وَأَنَّ رَبَّهُ تَعَالَى إِلَّمْ يَعْصِمْهُ وَيَسْرِفْ عَنْهُ كَيْدَهُنَّ صَبَى إِلَيْهِنَّ بِطَبْعِهِ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِ. And Yusuf realized that this type of plot, he himself cannot protect himself from it. That's what I have been saying, right? Don't put yourself into this and say to yourself, no, it's just my friend. You stay with a girl that is not halal for you. Wallahi, you're going to fall into trouble and you cannot remove it. Yeah. Because once this thing gets, into two of them and they are alone, trust me, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can interfere and protect them. That's why Yusuf, when he found himself into that situation, that the woman is alone in the house, and this is his house, actually. He was grown up in that place. And then she tried to seduce him and provoke his desire and force him to commit zina with her. You know, all of the means were there. The motivators were there. But still, Yusuf alayhi salam realized that this is a very critical moment that he needs the support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why he quickly went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking him the support, and he says, Ya Allah, if you don't protect me from this plot of these sisters, Ya Allah, I'm going to, you know, incline towards them, acting like a Sabi. You know, Sabi, a little boy, follows his desire. He said, I'm going to incline to them and do that which they want me to do, and if I do that, I will be among the ignorants. So when he realized this, and that's why he went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asked him for the protection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَوْلَا أَرَّأَ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّي كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءَ إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when he comes back to us, we protected him from that evil doing. And this is what we do with the righteous people. He says he's among the people of Ikhlas. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him from that thought of that woman and the rest of the sisters in the community. وَهَذَا مِنْ كَمَالِ مَعْرِفَتِهِ بِرَبِّهِ وَنَفْسِهِ. He understand himself properly and he understand his Lord properly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why he used the right channel and he got the support immediately. He went to jail. It's a test, right? But some tests are worse than the other ones. Yeah, so it's a lesser of the two evils. Going to jail is a test. You get it? But committing zina is worse. And that's why he chose to go to jail rather than going to his desire. وفي هذه القصة من العبر والفوائد والحكم ما يزيد على ألف فائدة لعلنا إن وفقنا الله أن نفردها في مصنف مستقل. Allahu Akbar. Ibn Qayyim says this story of Yusuf alayhi salam has not less than 1,000 benefits, lessons. He says he has in his mind, 1,000 lessons to be taken from this surah. He says, inshallah, Allah will give us chance in the future to write a book on these benefits. I've never come across a book written by him about this benefit, but there are some scholars who write about Tafsir Surah to Yusuf. Yeah, I guess Abdurrahman al-Sa'di also has an approach concerning Surah to Yusuf, and he extracted a lot of benefits in that surah. Faslun man hakallahu anhum al-ishqa. So this fasl will talk about those people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrated this ishq al-suwar, al-ishq, this kind of love. What do we use to translate ishq? Crush. Yeah, and a very strong love that usually take a person, you know, to be out of control. And this ishq, is it always bad? Yeah, when it takes a person to the path that is wrong, then it is bad. But it's if a person ashiqa zawjatu, his wife, is it wrong? Is it right? Is it mustahab? Okay. Isn't it a weakness for a person to love dunya? Anyway, okay. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, who do you love the most? He said, Aisha. Yeah, so it's okay for a person to say to his wife he loves her, which many don't hear these days. You know, one of the scholars said, how many times I receive a call from sisters who are complaining that she never heard this word, I love you. And the funniest part, she says, when his friend called him, Hala ya habibi, ya habib qalbi, ya ayuni, you know. She never heard the word habibati, but when his friend called him, ya habibi qalbi, you know. So that's why some sisters in the wrong way also, because she never heard of this word miskina living in a house like that. But when his sister called him, he called her habibati. Was he right? Yes, he has to love his family members, but he's the closest person to you in terms of living, right? But she never heard this from you. That's why sometimes they have this jealousy in the wrong way. You Allah. You know, some people have very big jealousy against the sister of the husband. Jealousy. You know, which create a lot of problems. And that's one of the grounds of the request for the divorce. Yeah, they can't stand. So maybe there is no proper distribution of love in the proper way, right? That's why she sees it there, but she doesn't see it in her own territory. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not like that. Yeah, he did not feel shy of telling people that he loves his wife. Yeah, if you say it nowadays, yeah, you have become modernist kind of mentality. You know, the old people will free themselves from you, right? You become a bad person. So don't worry about anyone. Worry about you doing the correct things, right? This is the big protection that you have for the family rather than letting them doing something in the wrong way. Usually, who got distracted more? When the two genders meet each other, who got distracted more? The guys, yeah, that's right. But the sisters, do they get distracted also? Yes. You Allah, they do. A lot, actually. I remember a place where I used to teach in that place. Group of sisters came. She told me, Ustaz, is it necessary that the brothers also has to dress in this way? I said, well, I don't do that, but I think this is the school requirement, you know. Subhanallah, they were telling me that if it is possible to communicate with the management, that we get this stuff, you Allah. I still remember this. They say we get this stuff in the class with some teachers and the brothers standing in front of them. So Masaki, you don't know what they are going through, you know, out of looking smart, they call it, right? Yeah, looking smart, and then you put those people who you are teaching into trouble. That's what Abdullah ibn Umar said. He said, I dress nicely, because we always complain that the wife is not dressing nicely. Yeah, for sure, she cannot always decorate herself throughout her life, she remains like this. And no, there has to be a lot of break. You also will get bored of that. You get it? But we always complain. But then we don't care about ourselves. He smells all types of bad smell. He doesn't care. She has to handle that. right? He wears whatever he wants to wear, she has to handle that. But if she is to wear something which is not, you know, serving her, his interest, what happens? He would turn the dunya against her. Abdullah ibn Umar said, I dress well for my wife because the same feeling I have towards her, she also has towards me. I remember one of the funniest case I heard concerning this matter is a case that happened during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. I don't know whether you read that or not, but they said there's a person that his wife brought him. She was dragging him to Umar radiallahu anhu. On the way, she was just saying, I want nothing except divorce. I don't want to be with you. When they reach Umar, Umar says, relax. What happened? She said, no, I don't want him. I just want him to utter the divorce and he doesn't want to give me the divorce. Umar look at him. He says, what is this? Come on. He told her, he said, please go to some houses, go to the neighbors or wherever you want to go. Come back to me after like an hour. Umar look at him. His head is dirty, you know, curly and dirty, dusty, you know, the clothes. Auzubillah, the smell is... Umar said, come on, what is this? He asked him to go to one of the houses and take shower and dress well, wear nice clothes and come back. He went, he took shower, dressed upright, wear nice clothes, and he come and he said, comb his hair properly, you know, and he sat down next to Umar radiallahu anhu and he keep the conversation with the rest of the believers. After 1 hour, the seeker of the divorce comes back. So Umar asked her, okay, Yalla, are you still holding upon that opinion? Where is your husband, by the way? She tried, she couldn't find him in. This is the first time she saw him taking shower. She tried to say, where is he? Yeah. And then she managed to say, almost, look, is that you? He said, yes, I'm the one. So she told Umar, I canceled that application. I want to go back with my husband. That was how Umar radiallahu anhu resolved the case. So it's really necessary for a person to think in this way that you're living with human being. The same way you have feeling, she also has feelings. Yeah? So don't you ever be greedy. She's the one who's supposed to provide and you're not supposed to do. And marital life is all about cooperation and doing that which will bring comfort to both of them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrated this ishq, having this strong love that takes a person away from the right path, narrated to be practiced by two people. You remember the first one, right? Imratul Aziz, right? The second one, they're the Qawm Lut. The first one is the wife of Aziz and the sisters in the time of Yusuf alayhi salam, right? Because as I said, after the event, when they couldn't stand that beauty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in Yusuf alayhi salam, they cut some part of their fingers, you know, and also they couldn't relax. The houses in the city, every sister is talking about Yusuf, wherever you go, Yusuf. Yeah, that's why the authority couldn't tolerate this. They sent him to jail to protect the community. Yeah. It's wrong to send him to jail. They can ask him to go to another city, you know, like what Umar did. In Medina, they said there was a person who the sisters got disturbed by him. Very handsome person. So Umar realized that the sisters are into trouble with this guy. Everyone is mentioning him and all this, and this will be really a problem. Umar brought him. He said, you don't do anything wrong. However, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you, and it caused some sisters to be distracted. And it's our responsibility to protect them. And therefore, we might take a little bit action against your interest. So we will ask you to shave your hair. You have to be bold. Yeah, maybe that kind of hair that you have, the style you have, is making you somebody else in their eyes. Umar shaved his hair. And then unfortunately, more sisters also get involved now. The beauty became worse than before. So now what to do? Umar asked him to move from Medina to Iraq, to the place where nobody knows him in that place. Yeah. So that's why I said, they should do this with Yusuf, right? Send him to another place rather than putting him in jail. Jail is too harsh. Yeah, but that was a test. Allah SWT tested Yusuf to see which one would he be choosing. That which he wants, or to go to jail, to accept the test and the pain of being in jail, and he chose to be in jail. So the second type of people that Allah SWT narrated that story about them, loving images more than, the right way, they're the people of Lut alayhi salam, Qawm Lut. قال والطائفة الثانية الذين حكى الله عنهم العشق هم اللوطية. That's the people who are committing homosexuality. And these are the people of who? Lut عليه السلام. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَاءَ أَهْلُ الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. The people of Medina came when they hear about the visitors. These are the guests of Ibrahim Lut عليه السلام. When they hear about those guests, they came to the house of Lut alayhi salam, you know, a lot of them, and they were rushing. Yeah, because those angels, they came in the form of young people. And these are angels. And you know, angels, they look like that. So they come very handsome, young people. So when they saw them, they rushed to the house. Subhanallah. They were rushing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَجَاءَ أَهْلُ الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. They kept on giving good news and evil news, actually. Yeah, they yastabshirun, meaning informing others that we have people coming to the Lut house, and therefore we should meet there. What was their intention? Of course, to use them in that evil way. So when they rush into the house of Lut alayhi salam, and there are many, they kept on coming. Lut alayhi salam looked at them. قَالَ إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ ضَيْفِي فَلَا تَبْضَحُونَ. He told them, please, these are my guests. Please don't embarrass me in front of my guests. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُخْزُونَ. He said, please, don't disrespect me. Don't embarrass me in front of my guests. Fear Allah. قَالُوا أَوَلَمْ نَنْهَكَ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Didn't we ask you, didn't we tell you not to receive guests? If you want to protect your guests, don't receive them here. قَالَ هَؤُلَاءِ بَنَاتِي إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ. Lut alayhi salam told them, these are my daughters, please. These are my daughters. He has how many daughters? Two. But he is not referring to his daughters here. He is referring to the sisters in the community, because they are like his daughters. Why can't you go and marry sisters? He says, هُنَّ أَطْهَرُ لَكُمْ. These are clean for you. It doesn't mean that the other one is clean also, because when you say أَطْهَر, it means cleaner. So you're establishing the purity also to the other one. But in this regard, no. هُنَّ أَطْحَرُ لَكُمْ means they are the only one who is pure and clean for you. The other one is not clean. It's all about disease that might affect you in the future, and also going against Allah and doing things which even Haywan doesn't agree with that in most instances. قَالَ هَؤُلَاءِ بَنَاتِي إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ. Why can't you go and marry my daughters? If you are really truthful when you said you want to relieve your desire. قَالُوا مَا لَنَا فِي بَنَاتِكَ مِنْ حَقٍ وَإِنَّكَ لَتَعْلَمْ مَا نُرِيدْ. They told him, we don't have any interest in your daughters, and you know what we want. Subhanallah. Imagine this tough situation. No? You have a guest, and these criminals are coming to your house to attack your guest. So Lut alayhi salam told them, please go and marry. It's better for you. They said, مَا لَنَا فِي بَنَاتِكَ مِنْ حَقٍ. We don't have any interest. We don't have any right in your daughters. We don't need them. وَإِنَّكَ لَتَعْلَمْ مَا نِرِيدْ. You already know what brought us here. And we would never leave this place without getting what we want. That's why Lut alayhi salam said, لَوْ أَنَّ لِي بِكُمْ قُوَّةً أَوْ آوِي إِلَىٰ رُكْنٍ شَدِيدٍ. He said, I wish I have a power to fight you back. Or I can depend on a pillar. And this pillar is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen, or any support that can help me to defeat you, to chase you out of this place. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, may Allah have mercy upon our brother Lut alayhi salam. فَقَدْ كَانَ يَأْوِي إِلَىٰ رُكْنٍ شَدِيدٍ. He was the one who was dependent on the strongest pillar, actually. And what is that pillar? Rabbul Alameen. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said here, in the book we're studying, he said, لَعَمْرُكْ إِنَّهُمْ لَفِي سَكْرَتِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. Allah swears by the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, those guys are drunk. At that time, they were acting like a drunk person who doesn't know what he was he inviting for himself. At that time, when they are reacting in that way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they are similar to Majnoon, who doesn't understand the danger that is surrounding him. Because those three people, they were angels. One angel has the capacity to topple the dunya upside down. But since they come in the form of human being, young human being, right? They think this is an easy prey for them to harm. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُمْ لَفِي سَكْرَةٍ يَعْمَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when the fajr comes, because he says, إِنَّ مَوْئِدَهُمْ الصُّبْحِ. Fajr time, they will be destroyed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, during fajr time, Jibreel alayhi salam turned this country upside down. جَعَلْنَا عَالِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا. Right? He took them up to the heaven number one, yeah, where angels can hear the screaming and the shout of the people inside the city, and then he turned them upside down. Yeah, that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala get them all. So you can understand why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُمْ لَفِي سَكْرَةٍ يَعْمَهُونَ, and why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Lut alayhi salam forgot that he's the one who is holding upon the strongest pillar, which is the pillar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you can see the impact of this pillar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, دَمَّرَهُمْ مَقَوْمَهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, destroy them completely. They are in the city. None of them exist at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَمْرُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ مُصْبِحِينَ وَبِاللَّيْلِ. Allah put them in a place where people can observe and watch them, and everyone knows about their stories and why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy them, so that we will take their story as lesson for us, right? But nowadays we even brought the concept of this GB something Q, right? Those people who don't know exactly what they're doing. They forgot themselves. Ew Allah. That's the best example of somebody who forgets himself. And even people who are not within their consciousness, the Majaneen, I think, will not agree to have this description. A person to know, to say that he doesn't agree with his gender. Same way a person is created, he said he doesn't agree with that. He doesn't believe he is a man. She doesn't believe she is a woman. Yeah? And they have a lot of upgrade. Huh? Just like the way you upgrade the apps and things. And just like that, a person can tell his... Alhamdulillah, we are living in the Muslim community, Allah. If I'm a teacher in a class and somebody tell me this, I don't think I can control myself laughing. I will cancel that class. Not because I don't want to teach because of him, but I don't think I can teach anymore. My students just tell me that I'm a cat now, and you have to address me as a cat. Oh, my student just tell me now I'm a baby, 2-year-old. And he will start crying like a baby, and I have to address him like that. And I have to tell him sorry, and take him and just handle him. What do you say, a lullaby? Those things that we say to the babies, Every culture has their own words, right? Yeah. So I have to deal with him in that way. If I don't, the government is going to take action against me. I might lose my job because of that. Because he used to be a human being, but now he's a cat. A'udhu billah, a'udhu billah. If you call them animals, they will say no. But alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let them call themselves animals. They have more than 4,000, according to the statistic, human dogs in the UK. Literally, they design themselves as dog and walk like dog, and they have pigs also. I don't know how many pigs they have, living in a cage. I saw them in the cage, just sitting down there with awsakh. And they might be professors, But then his shepherd told him, just act like a pig. During their break, they want to forget everything, so they said, it's better to act like haywan. Which haywan is the best for them? Khinzir. I wish Muslims are understanding this correctly, right? Those people who are thinking that they are the role model, right? Yeah. There are some people who think that the best life is their own life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَجَعَلْنَا عَالِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا وَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ حِجَارَةً مِّنْ سِجِّنٍ. He destroyed those people completely. So you can see these are the first people who went against, you know, the realm of the ridiculous in terms of loving image, right? It caused them to even have the same sex, you know, sexual approach, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not take, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them immediately. قَالَ فَهَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ عَشِقَتْ فَحَكَاهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَنِ الطَّائِفَتَيْنِ عَنْ طَائِفَتَيْنِ عِشْقُ كُلٍّ مِّنْهُمَا مَا حُرِّمَ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ السُّوَرِ وَلَمْ يُبَالِ بِمَا فِي عِشْقِهِ مِنَ الضَّرَرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the consequence of those two groups of people, you know, who end up loving those images in the wrong way. They never care about the harm. You know, in time of Yusuf alayhi salam, she has this strong ishq, the crush against Yusuf alayhi salam, which led her to even take off her clothes and chase him and fought him and try to force him to commit zina with her. And the sisters also, when they saw him also, they went in the wrong way, you know. Those guys, they even cut themselves and they couldn't feel, you know. Later on, when Yusuf leave them, then they come and go for medication, you know. But during the process, they couldn't realize what danger they're putting themselves in. And you Allah, this is the situation up to date. So the people of Lut also, they never think of it to go in this way, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy them completely. Do we have new diseases that are emerging in our community? Every day you hear new ones, right? Even now, this also yesterday, I was hearing about some new ones emerging somewhere. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the ummah. Corona should be enough for us, you know? People suffer a lot. Many people lost. Many people died. Many people lost their business, you know? Many people became majani. Many committed suicide. It's really a tragedy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not let it come back. But I don't think those guys are willing to let us relax. But anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is a role we can play also, yeah, which is to block the promiscuity from existing in our communities. Then we will be protected and to live a natural life, righteousness and natural life. There are food that we eat, food we drink, and there are strong resistance and, you know, subhanAllah, immunity in us. And nowadays in some countries, somebody was telling me that they are targeting those kind of things, removing them from existence. They don't want good for us. Yeah. They don't want good for us. In the past, they don't have even hospitals. But do people have medicine? Did they have medicines? Yes, the natural one, and they're very effective. But they managed to convince us that those ones are useless. We end up living for those one which we are receiving the side effects now from time to time. Yeah? One of the one that I've heard is the side effect of the medicine we're using. Yeah, they said by themselves that this is the side effect of what we're using. So we have a role to play, which is not to let the promiscuity take place in our community and be righteous and advise everyone to act righteously. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من تشرت الفاحشة في قوم حتى يعلنوا بها إلا فشى فيهم الطاعون. He says, a fahisha, which is promiscuity, and evil doing, zina, homosexuality, lesbianism, bestiality, and all of those evil things that we hear nowadays. If they are openly practiced in a people, he says, a plague and anguish and a calamity would take place in that community, and also diseases that the people never heard of in the history of that place. They never heard of them. And their grandparents also never heard of them. When did AIDS start? So many other diseases also which are related to that, you know. In our time, where zina has been legalized in some places, as long as it was done by the consent of the partners and the parties, you know. In Islam, we don't have this. There is no consent here. Islam says no. With consent, without consent, is no. When somebody wants to relieve himself, he should go for marriage. That's it. That's the only way. Either this or a person should face the consequence. And these consequences are heavy. If he married before, he has to be stoned till death. If he did not marry before, he will be lashed 100 times and sent to jail for 1 year. That's how serious is Islam concerning this matter. Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَأَ سَبِيلًا. It's fahisha, and it's also a means that opens the door to all other types of evils in the community. You have illegitimate children will be in the community, and also those ones would not be given the proper tarbiyah because nobody will agree to claim them properly. Right? We end up looking for the father. Who is that? And the father also would not claim them that much, you know, because he knows he did not get them legitimately. At the end of the day, they would end up going around the community with no proper tarbiyah. And that's really dangerous for us. Is that clear? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. So he says, this ummah was having the ishq, and the ummah of Yusuf alayhi salam, those sisters also, they were having that kind of ishq, which took each and every one of them to doing that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made prohibited of those images, that they cannot have ishq towards them. And none of them is concerned with the darar, the harm that can exist in this kind of ishq. So Ibn Qayyim says, this type of ishq, when it happens, he says it's one of the most dangerous, sicknesses that can take place in the life of a person. And it is not easy for the doctors to give remedy for this. So inshallah, this explanation by Ibn Qayyim, we will be taking it in the next class. Bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal. Barakallahu fikum. Let's see if there are any questions to be answered.
What if you live in a community where there are certain people that are homosexuals? What can we do to help them?
To engage in da'wah to them. There are programs, many organizations, you know, organized, which are aiming towards looking for those people, you know, who are changing their nature to man or woman if they are not woman or man, or woman to man, or man to woman, or any of those ones. Yeah. And alhamdulillah, I heard that many of them are succeeding. I saw somebody who went even through Hajj. His picture when he was imitating girls, and now his picture when he is in his true image, you know, it succeeded. And this is very good thing to be done in this time of ours, you know, because if this thing exists, trust me, the evil consequence is going to affect everyone. Yeah, not them alone. It's going to affect everyone. Yeah. So dawah with hikmah, with wisdom, don't show them, you know, rejection. Yeah. Of course, we don't accept, we don't tolerate it. But when you go to them, be humble. Go into them. If you go shouting, fighting, they will tell you go what you think we don't want. Go sit with them and see how to explain to them the danger of this. Yeah. And inshallah, they will accept.
The issue, Sheikh, is these, for example, these brothers, they always surround themselves with sisters.
No problem. Give that one to both. Seriously, what can we do? We have to give that one to both. Yeah. Why did he say he is a girl? Why? Yeah, because he wants to legally enjoy staying with girls. Yeah. That's why he wants to get inside the bathroom of the sisters. He can see what they're covering because he thinks he's a girl. And alhamdulillah, you know, we see even videos, you know, from those countries, from the US and those countries. The biggest place of destruction, sisters fighting those criminals who are entering their bathrooms. Yeah, it doesn't make sense, you know. It doesn't. You don't need Islam for you to understand this. Yeah, I heard the debate in the U.S. Senate. One of them was shouting very harshly. He said, we have to do something because one of those criminals went to the bathroom, claiming that he is a woman. He went to the bathroom and he raped somebody in the bathroom. What happened, you know? He said he is a woman. So now the intention comes out. You know, people don't understand the intention, but now they should understand. So of course, if you see him, if he says he's not a man, you know, And he started behaving like a woman. You know, and he goes and sits with a woman. What do you expect from him? Of course, that one. Yeah. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. So where do you expect to see him? Of course, with the sisters, because he says he's a sister. So when you give da'wah to him, where do you give da'wah to him? In the same place. Give all of them. And try to tell the sisters who he is. Not to agree with that. Because at the end of the day, they might end up being the victims, right? Yeah, they might end up being the victims. Allah grant us tawfiq.
As-salam. During the time when Yusuf was living in the house, was he a prophet at the time, or was his prophethood later on?
No, he was given the one that we know. Allah Subhanahu wa Taala gave the prophecy was when he was young, was Isa alayhi salam, and also Yahya ibn Zakariya. Yeah. But Yusuf grow and he stays in jail also for long. And we don't know how long, but I never come across a place where it is mentioned that he was a prophet at that time. But he was a very righteous person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controlled his life and protect him. Yeah. Later he became a prophet.
For the second question, in Jannah we know that if you have, like, let's say, righteous offspring, let's say that higher level than you, so or you have righteous family members at a higher level gender, you'd be reunited, like you'd be they'll be moved up to the same level without decreasing anyone's reward. But does it, like, a person who worked, let's say he worked really hard for someone else to come along and then
join him,
enjoying the same,
yeah, family? Because that was done just to make him happy. Now we see it in this way. But when you are in Jannah, you wish that your children are also in this level. You wish that your father is also in this level. You wish that your mother is always in this level. So Allah, to complete your happiness, He bring your family to you. To make you happier. The happiness you have, seeing them next to you, is more than their happiness. Because you already have the thing with you. Yeah, you already have the thing with you. They're not going to live in your house. They will live in their own house, but in the same level. Yeah. And if you go to the houses, are they like you? No, they're not. Nobody will be like you except somebody who's better than you in this dunya. That's how it is. Yeah. He goes to your house and see things and come back to his house and ask Allah to give him those ones. Allah will give him. But let him go tomorrow to your house also. He will see millions of things, most likely, which he doesn't have. If you ask Allah, Allah will give him, because He says, whatever you wish, you get. Yeah? But can He reach you? Never. Yeah, you already passed Him. So Him asking is also improved for your case. Yeah? And at the same time, as I said, it's better for a person to do it, to be the one who will intercede for others. Yeah. And also thinking in Jannah, not everything will come to the mind of a person. And also, who will keep on going every day, going to the house of others to see what they have and then come and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You don't have time to enjoy your house. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it in the way nobody will think of another person. Because you see the lowest level in Jannah, lowest person in Jannah, is the poorest person, faqir. Faqir in Jannah. But this faqir, he has more than 10 times of this world. The world, not UIA, the whole world, 10 times of them, being given to him. And the Prophet ﷺ said, it is not easy for him to see the last part of his kingdom in Jannah. Do you think he will be thinking of other people? He has all of these things. You know? And whatever he asks, it will be brought to him instantly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him, what do you want? He will ask. Until the time he gets stuck. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, how about this? You forgot this one. He said, yeah. And then he will keep on asking. He remember other things also. When he gets stuck, Allah will tell him, how about this? Yeah. until the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to stop with him and let him enjoy his life in Jannah, Allah will tell him, I give you this one and 10 times of it also I grant you, apart from what he has in the house. So when does he have time to think of something else? Yeah. So aim for Firdaus. Don't accept any other Jannah except Firdaus. When I say don't accept, it doesn't mean this is your choice, you know, to reject. But I mean, don't agree with your activities and doings and deeds except those that can take you to Firdaus. Yeah. Always perfect your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you ask Jannah, ask for Firdaus. Yes, Adam.
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. If your wife is jealous of your sister, what do you do?
She is not, but...
I'm asking hypothetically, because you said...
I know that. I'm just teasing you. Because you said, if my wife... I said, she's not. Otherwise, from now on, I will go with my stick, you know. Anyway, I'm just kidding. If somebody's wife is jealous of his sister... He has to check about his relationship with the wife first. Trust me, in most instances, he's not happy with the way he lives with her. If he has no problem, that means she has a problem. And this is not a good person to live with. Yeah. He's staying with somebody who can come and separate between him and his family members. Yeah. Some cannot talk to their sisters freely. They cannot laugh when they speak to their sisters. You know, this your sister call you, are joking, she's joking, you do that? Cannot in front of her. To her, this you're talking to another woman. Yeah, so that's disease. Yeah, but as I said, in most instances, it might be that the right of that woman is not being preserved properly. So he has to give her all of her right. And also come and tackle the issue after doing that. Before doing that, it will not work. No matter how much you try to fix it, it will not be fixed. Because she believes, and she has a right to believe in that, that her right has been taken by him. And she's the one who lives with him, who knows him more than anybody else. So he has to fix himself first if the problem is from his side. But there are some situations. You know, I know a person which, according to Zahir that we know, is a very good person, very kind person. And I know some of his struggles actually to preserve his family and to provide for them. Really, really suffer. Really suffer in life. But the wife has strong jealousy even against his sister. Yeah. So this disease. Yeah. Because these people, they will be wondering, what else I can do to this person? So if it is not going to be stopped, it's better for him to grant her ease. Go and look for somebody else, and he should look for somebody else. Because what does he want? You know, you become very dry when you converse with your family members. That's a joke. Yeah. That's why I advise all of you guys, the brothers and the sisters, when you marry in the future, if you decide to go for it, make sure that your spouses are well informed about who your family members are. Should be a red line, the families. Yeah. I really believe that family should be the red line. No disrespect from the spouse against the family. This one should be the red line that cannot be crossed by anyone. If you do that, based on Allah Ta'ala, and the wife see the amount of the respect you have to your family, she will also join you in that respect. And that's good for her, good for you, and good for her. Right? Because the family, if she doesn't like them, they're going to know. And when they know who will be suffering, she will be suffering because she cannot approach them. Whenever she goes to them, they will not be interested in seeing her. She will be technically living alone and be depressed. Yeah, it's good sometimes she calls your sister and she talk, they converse, they laugh, you know, they joke. She sometimes doesn't even want you to come back because she has a nice partner that makes her laugh. And it's a very strong protection also for her. Because trust me, there are so many people who are about to divorce their wives, but the reason why they don't, it is because they are not sure about the reaction of their family. He doesn't know how his mother is going to react because he knows how much the mother loves his wife. He doesn't know how his sisters are going to react because he knows how much his sisters love his wife. So this good relationship between the wife and the in-laws, is it good for her? Yes, it's good for her. It's a strong protection if she loves her marriage. But there are some people who are very dumb from both sides, the male and the female. They interfere between a person and his mother and his father, or her mother and her father. Wallahi, that's stupidity and dumbness. Although she has a right over you, you have a right over her more than the right of the parent, but it doesn't mean you disrespect her family member. And nobody should accept this, actually. So when a person has a wife that is jealous of his family members, he should inform her in a nice way. But at first, as I said, he should look into his life first and see what exactly he missed of her right, which he is not giving properly. If everything is perfect, then he shouldn't worry. He should advise her if she's not willing to stop, and he realized that the barrier has to be open between him and his family members. Otherwise, the life with her is messy. In this case, the best is to give her relief. Let her go and look for somebody else who can tolerate that. Is that clear, inshallah? Yeah, that's how it should be done. But as I said, at first, a person should blame himself first. Maybe he is not giving her her right, which caused her to have strong jealousy against anybody else. Mm. We have some people who are jealous of the children of the husband. The husband has another wife, maybe she passed away, or she's still alive, but they divorced. But they are very jealous of the children of that person, just because they are not from her. Yeah, this one is a very big issue, that the husband has to be very serious on this matter. Otherwise, there's going to be strong separation and division in the family. And subhanAllah, once she does that, who is going to be in trouble in the future? Guess who will be in trouble in the future? The wife? No, not the husband. Her children. When she dies, especially when those children, they are older, trust me, we have cases whereby when the husband died and the wife died, the children of that wife who used to punish the other children just because they're not from her, they get into trouble. Because the older siblings, they really put them into trouble. It happens with one of the prophets of Allah, right? Who was that? Yusuf alayhi salam, right? Yeah, when they realize that the siblings realize that the father loves him more, he was almost going to be killed because of that, right? So we have some issues whereby children hate each other. And trust me, the reason why they hate it is because of the treatment they're getting from the other wife of the father, who is not their mother. And subhanAllah, you have good examples also at the same time. The wife came to the house and she found other kids. SubhanAllah, she took care of them because the first wife is gone. Either she died or divorced or whatever, you know, and this one took care of them. In the future, you ask them, who is your mother? They point at this one. The second one. Wallahi, there are some who doesn't even know, they don't know their mother. They believe this one is the real mother. Somebody has to inform them, no, your biological mother is not this one. But they don't want to believe. Why? Because of the way she took care of them. She doesn't make any discrimination. These are a good example because these ones are innocent, right? If she's going to fight somebody, she should fight who? The husband who marry again and the other wife who join her. But not the children, because the children are innocent. Is that clear? May Allah grant us good. Okay. Any last question? Two questions. Allahumma ameen.
Is it allowed to say sunnah behind someone who is praying obligatory prayer and the intention of giving the person a jama'ah of charity?
It's somebody who?
Somebody who... is it allowed to pray sunnah behind someone who is praying obligatory prayer?
Yeah, you can pray behind him. He is the imam and pray like his prayer. And your intention is sunnah. Yeah, that's correct. You're giving charity to him.
Next question, question by a sister. If we are on good terms with someone, but it gets spoiled for some reason, the relation gets broken, not the relationship, but social relationship. Until what point do we keep trying to fix that relation and ask Allah to fix it? Or when exactly do we simply walk away and let that
person... I answer this question, I guess. we answered that the time it came, I think, in either Riyad al-Salihin or Asma al-Husna, yeah.
This has some clarification.
What is that?
We did not get the
answer. So if you can ask her to be more specific, because this one looks like the same question I received last time. So if I give an answer also, I'm going to give the same. And then she will say she doesn't. So if she can clarify it and message it, anyone can forward me the message, or she can just send me the question. Yeah, they're the closest opinion. They are the Asbat. No, not all of them. Maybe some of them, Allahu Alam. The only one that we know to be the Prophet was Yusuf alayhi salam. Yeah. But those ones, because they are the children of a Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they made a mistake at one point of their life and repented at then. If we can trust the chain, then we can take it. If not, then we remain neutral. لَا تُصَدِّقُهُمْ وَلَا تُكَذِّبُهُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ said. We say it is mentioned in the books that were given to the people before us that this is the name of so-and-so. And we just go with that. That's the thing we have. If somebody says, are you sure? We tell them, no, we're not. But this is the available information we have, and we don't have anything to contradict it in our Sharia. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته